Tonight, the conclusion of Unveiling the Prophetic Truth, where discoveries are made and the signs speak. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City. How you doing there, David?
Oh, we're doing great.
Awesome.
Things are good. We're about to elect a new mayor, and that race is getting kind of fun.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. I'm monitoring it down here.
Yeah, you can even talk. So we got a Muslim who wants to kill all the Jews, charge extra tax for white people, and that's it, and put in a Sharia law in the city. So you think how that's going to go over. Then you got Cuomo, who is impeached as a governor, so he thinks, oh, well, I might as well run for mayor then. Then you got Eric Adams, who has destroyed the city the past few years. And it's like, well, what's that? And then you got Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah.
Who, remember the Guardian Angels?
I do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So he saved the city from all the chaos and mayhem at 24 years old, mind you.
Yeah.
And he's like, he set out there and, you know, despite, you know, all the attacks and all the different things that came out against him, the guy's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he just wants the best for New York City. Okay. Mm-hmm. So obviously you don't agree with every point with every single person, but the dude grew up here and demonstrated he's willing to take a bullet for the city.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's really no choice, but.
Well, he's a true New Yorker, you know, and he used to wear that red beret all the time. I think he stopped doing that now. I'm not sure about that.
No, he's wearing it again.
Is he wearing it again? Okay.
Yep.
Because I mean,
and you know what? He's visiting every neighborhood. Every neighborhood. You see, oh, he's over here today. Oh, he's over there today. Every single, there's 350 neighborhoods, I think, in New York City.
Wow.
And then he's going to every last one, and he's talking to the people on the street.
That's how you win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish him well. He's the best candidate, in my opinion, anyway, for up there. But, you know, down here in Texas, I don't have a vote.
You can send well wishes.
All right, David, go ahead and pray us into this program, and then I'll show everybody what we're going to do.
All right. So in the midst of all this chaos, Father, we thank you that you are in control of all these things after all, because your word states what's going to happen in the end. So while we are micromanagers down here, at the end of the day, you will return and you will rule and reign the entire globe from your throne in Jerusalem. So we long for that day. Maranatha, Lord. And we ask that these words would help bring others unto your throne. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. As I said, I'm going to show you what we expect to talk about today. This is, first of all, we'll give you a recap of what's going on over the weekend. We are, of course, a news show, but I'm going to run through the news as fast as I can, David. We're also going to just touch on and recap last week's show where we talked about the Shroud of Turin as well as the Eastern Gate there in Jerusalem. But tonight, what we really want to focus on is the Ark of the Covenant, whether or not we're being prepared for the reveal of that after centuries, and then of course the prophetic acceleration or signs in the heavens and on the earth here. There's a lot going on there as well. So we got a lot to talk about. But even before we get started, real quick, I want to make a shout out to Sophia. Wonderful, generous donation that she provided to us.
Thank you.
We really, really do appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. And we know,
because we're listener supported. That's how we pay for stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't have any advertisers on here. And, you know, we're not Benny Hinn. We're not going to call you every day and tell you that we're dying.
Yeah.
So
you can go to lastchristian.net. And there you can do as Sophia did and just drop us a donation there. Or if you just want to buy some stuff and still support us, well, you can go to the Conservative Store, or you can go to Everyday Dose Coffee or Christian Book. And you can find links there to each one of our affiliates, again, at lastchristian.net. Lastchristian.net. We appreciate each and every one of you that give to us. So, anyway, David, we'll get things started here real quick. We'll start off with the World News Recap, where we've got the Ukraine and Russian tensions are escalating. The ceasefire talks have fallen apart. Even President Trump is getting mad about that. The Russians hit the Ukrainians with probably the most serious attacks so far in the war and deeper into everything. I've even seen pictures of people camped out in train stations, or I should say subway stations in the Ukraine. Then you also see Syrian unrest and realignment there. I'm not so sure that that's a good thing with the Syrian folks. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. We had a church attack on Sunday there in Kentucky where two women were killed. From what I understand, the assailant actually took out a police officer and then went to the church and opened fire there, and they took him out. And then you've got a medical crisis in the UK. I don't think too many people are hearing about this, where there's confirmed death of a young child from measles amid an outbreak there. So they're concerned right now about their medical situation there. And let's see. UK has digitized border control. That's as of July the 15th. They transitioned all international student visas to a digital-only format, eliminating physical documents. Now, this is kind of scary, okay? Critics raise concerns about the privacy, data security, and possible exclusion of those unfamiliar with digital systems. The move is emblematic of a broader shift towards surveillance-based governance. That's not good. Then you've got the Indian court reversing academic appointments. They've canceled hiring over 1,000 university professors and librarians due to recruitment corruption. I don't know much about that yet. Now, you know, that's just something we'll have to keep our eyes on. Then you've got Earth and Nature, where you got deadly heat waves and wildfires. That's all through Europe. Of course, we've got a few here in the United States as well. Solar flare activities on the rise, and then space and prophetic symbolism. An Indian astronaut returned from space. Now, I'm not really that big on this particular story, but it says that, you know, this is possibly echoing prophetic warnings in Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel narrative, where man attempts to elevate himself to the heavens. I'm not sure if I really agree with that or not, but it's out there. What do you think, David?
Yeah, well, on that, I mean, have you seen the Face on Mars stuff?
Have I seen the what? I'm sorry?
The Face on Mars.
No.
So, it is like this face-looking thing on Mars, so people think, oh, maybe we're just seeing things. But then if you look at it, actually it looks like it was built on purpose. So I'm of the opinion that this could be a possibility, but I'm not dogmatic about it.
Okay.
Is that some of the reason for the flood was, you know, the fallen angels and the watchers were confined to the earth. Okay. And they were not happy with that idea.
Right.
So that's why they are trying to teach mankind, because mankind has dominion and authority over the earth, because God gave it to them in the contract. So they have to use man. So they kind of using man to learn about all this space stuff. And now we got Elon putting a chip in your head and wants to go to Mars. There's good reason to believe that they were way more advanced than we were before the flood. And they actually did get to Mars at that point. And it's one of the reasons that God had to, you know, destroy the earth back then and start all over again. That's why he had to crack it up. That's why we see the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, because of all the vibrations and everything that were sent out. So I wouldn't doubt it if we found out that, hey, actually people, you know, were there, but probably they were Nephilim or fallen angels.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it would have been actual human beings. I would have a hard time with that one, but.
Yeah, but they had the technology, so it would at least have to have fallen angel technology.
Yeah.
And then, to tie all into that, you know, the pyramids, it appears to be some kind of power station and not, you know, built with with copper chisels, like they say, and men lifting these 15-ton rocks.
That's never been explained by science or anybody. You know, nobody has ever come up with a good explanation of that, because you know you got to build it from the ground up. It's not like they had these cranes picking up stuff and putting them up there. They had to physically.
Well, I think they use sound technology to anti gravity, because if you make the vibrations, you can actually. You ever see things levitate?
I have, as a matter of fact, I worked at a place one time, and we were on like the second floor, and somebody was bouncing their foot or something, and you know, and I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, somebody said, you know, you better stop that, you know, we get the vibrations, we'll fall, you know, so you know, like, okay, whatever.
No, they you can get levitating stuff now. They sell clocks that levitate all the time. It's pretty cool. So obviously you could do that with bigger rocks if you had the technology, but that's why God dumbed us down. He's like, all right, you guys are too smart, I gotta dumb down your DNA. I got you got to live 80 years instead of 900, so you don't gain all this knowledge again. And it was for our own safety. So I think that we are, you know, not us per se, but I think someone, either humans under the influence of fallen angel technology or the Nephilim themselves, actually did manage to get off the planet and go over there. It's just an opinion.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean,
they're trying to do it again, because they're confined here to the earth, and they don't like that. They want to get back into the heavenlies, and that's what Babylon says. They built a tower like unto the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say as tall as the heavens, like it does in English. It says like unto the heavens. In other words, they built this because this was their portal to the heavens again.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to do, and that's why God wiped that out.
Okay, well, let's move here on to this one real quick. This is a recap from our last show where we talked about the Shroud of Turin. And again, there was a DNA analysis on that. You guys can go back and look at the show from last week. Again, just go to lastchristian.net and you'll find the links there. We got three different video areas. You can go to YouTube or Rumble or Brytheon. And you can just pick your favorite video channel, and all the videos are posted. So you got human DNA was present, and the blood type matched AB, which is rare, but it's also something that is pretty common in the Middle East. Experts did confirm that there were no synthetic materials, no evidence of tampering, and clear signs of trauma consistent with crucifixion wounds. Small amounts of degraded male Y chromosome DNA were also found, pointing to a real man whose blood had soaked the cloth. And then while the contamination from centuries of handling it prevents scientists from building a full genetic profile, nothing in the DNA analysis disproves its authenticity. In fact, many argue it strengthens the case that it truly is a first century burial cloth, and possibly the very one that wrapped the body of Jesus Christ. And again, we went over that in a lot of detail last week, so you guys might want to get back over there and take a look at that. The next thing that we talked about was the Eastern Gate, which is examining the sealed Eastern Gate of Jerusalem, long known as the Golden Gate and prophetically tied to the return of the Messiah. Buried in stone and silence for centuries, recent developments around the Temple Mount are raising eyebrows and spiritual awareness. Subtle seismic shifts, unexplained heat signatures, and hollow echoes behind the walls have sparked renewed attention, and not just from engineers, but from those watching biblical prophecy. Ezekiel foretold that this gate would remain shut until the king returns. And as tensions rise on the Temple Mount with increasing calls to rebuild the Third Temple and global pressure mounting on Israel's sovereignty, many believe this prophetic gate is once again drawing the eyes of heaven and earth. But clearly, something is stirring up there, and the message is pretty clear that the king is on the way. What do you have to say about all that, David?
Yeah, he's definitely on the way. Everything is just quicker and quicker with the birth pains. I bring up all of these floods that we've had in the last couple of weeks. We've had seven, and now it's raining again down there in Texas.
I saw a picture just butt in here for just a second. There was a movie posted yesterday, and they said, this is not from last week. This is 2 hours ago, and it showed that same flow of water again over that same area. And of course, now, in this particular case, all you've got is the rescue crews, you know, and stuff, you know, that are down there. So they got out of the way. They knew it was coming. But unfortunately, the first time around, it happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, they didn't make it.
Yeah, and had no clue it was coming.
No.
But then, you know, we see, what was it, Idaho or something? There was a couple of them, and they were all over the world. And they just happened to be in places where they wanted to do lithium plants. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you look that one up. But in Texas, they literally just last year, the town people got together and said, we don't want a lithium processing plant here.
Yeah.
So just like it happened in North Carolina, remember that flood last year?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That was because they all turned down a lithium mine. And they, you know, the New World Order, they want to come in, they want to make everything battery powered, so they need this lithium.
Well, they are showing down here pictures of land that is extracting oil, you know, where you got the oil wells going, and it showed pictures of, you know, this active well in operation, and surrounding that well was a bunch of cows just wandering around, going about their business, you know, chewing their cud and having a good day. And then it showed a picture of a mine and what a mine would look like in the same area, which is cut out for miles and miles. And it said, which one do you think is better for the earth? You know, and clearly, the winner was extracting the oil from the ground in a manner which it can be done safely with no damage. And I mean no damage to the ecosystem. But there's a huge amount of damage to the ecosystem the other way around. That's my opinion, but I'm going to stick to it.
And not to mention, how do you dispose of the lithium when you're done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, those batteries blow up. I'm not thrilled about lithium batteries.
Yeah. They catch fire. You good luck putting them out.
Yeah, it's brought down a plane or two. They have. You know, it's not good. Yep. Not good.
Now, God says he will destroy those who destroy the earth. So these people that are doing it. So I'm waiting for that day. It's getting close.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the artifacts, and I don't know if the artifacts are because Jesus is coming back, so people are getting more interested in them, or are they being revealed now because we are at the end of the age? Mm-hmm. But in either case, it reveals that we're at the end of the age.
Right. Either way you want to look at it, yeah. It's right there.
Because people know Jesus is returning and they're looking for him, or Jesus revealed it.
Yeah.
The only thing I would bring up, now, L.A. Marzulli, good friend of ours, is he's got a brand new video out on the Shroud of Turin. He's 100% sold on that. So actually, we'll see if we can bring him on about that. 100% sold for a lot of different reasons. The only one that gives me pause is the fact that, you know, there's two separate wrappings. I believe it was in John. There was a separate wrapping for his head.
Mm-hmm. It's just a face cloth, David. It's not a wrapping. It's just a face cloth.
Yeah, so it was like there was a separate napkin for his head and a separate one for his body. But also, some of the things, like it says, at the time, it says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And the one in the picture has long hair. So
yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah, he's got long hair.
And then Isaiah said they tore his beard out.
Yeah, that was my point. Isn't there something there in Scripture about his beard being ripped out? And I grabbed a hold of mine the other day and just kind of pulled on it. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that would have hurt like real bad. Yeah, I don't want to imagine. It hurts too much to even think about it.
Yeah. So that gives me pause. The long hair, the beard, and the face wrap would do it. So could it possibly be another person who was crucified and did that? Yeah,
very possibly.
And then there's some of the others. So that would give me pause. Now, obviously, I'd love to say, yeah, this is it. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But then God does that, too. I remember doing a play, my first play when I was 17, I think. My first real play, you know, other than grammar school type.
Right, right.
But it was about that, and it was basically they were telling tales in the medieval times, and they would sell all these things. I got a splinter from the cross, and who wants to give me money for it?
Yeah, I've seen
that. This is what the preachers were doing. Hey, this is the cup. Here's a here's a blood from this guy, and here's a piece of cloth from that guy, and here's rocks that they were going to stone the adulteress with, and they would sell them off as authentic relics, and that's kind of. My funny part of me says, okay, this is some kind of a relic that they're trying to pawn off. But, I trust L.A. and his stuff. So I would definitely give him kudos on that. But those things give me pause. Yeah. His separate thing, the beard and the hair.
Yeah. Well, again, we are gonna kind of let you guys know about L.A. Morzilli. He's been on the show before. We want to get him back, especially on that particular topic. He has his most recent video on the Shroud of Turin he did with Mondo Gonzalez, and I have watched that presentation. It is awesome, and I want to make a real quick point on that because it applies to David and I as well, and that is that we don't trust that for our salvation. It's not a salvation issue. We are Christian by faith. We are believers of Jesus Christ by our faith, through our faith, what we have been able to determine on our own. We have our own personal relationship with Christ, and we don't need a relic of any form to substantiate that. Or in other words, we don't base our faith on it. There was another one, David, where just recently I saw a video, and I'll be honest with you, I have not watched it. I got no interest in it at all, knowing it's stupid, okay? But there's actually a video on YouTube right now where somebody says that they actually found the actual cross that Jesus was crucified
on. There you
on.
Go. There's that splinter.
Yeah, except it's not a splinter. It's the whole thing.
The whole cross. It
kind of
said
crazy.
Right on. It's got written on there. Jesus. It all still right, has a sign.
All right. Now we'll get into, we'll start what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show. First of all, the Ark of the Covenant, hidden no more. It says, for centuries, the Ark of the Covenant has captivated the imagination of the faithful and confounded scholars and archaeologists alike. Gold-covered, throne-topped, and infused with divine presence, the Ark was not just a holy relic, it was a physical throne of God on earth. And now, in our generation, something's stirring. The Ark, which was long assumed lost, buried, or beyond recovery, may no longer be hidden, and if it's true, it changes everything. What was the Ark? Well, it was more than a box. The Ark of the Covenant was crafted by Moses at the Lord's command, as described in Exodus 25. It was made of Arcadia wood, overlaid with pure gold inside and out. And then inside the Ark itself was the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, the actual stone tablets, Aaron's rod that budded, and you're going to have to explain that one to me, David. That one goes over my head, the budded part. And then a gold jar of manna. What do you think of all that, David?
That's what it was. What part do you want? The buds?
Yeah, what is that bud thing?
Oh, it sprouted. You know when you have a branch and then it comes out and then all of a sudden in the spring,
he carried around something and it kept budding? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that was the miracle. That proved it was his. So they all had a bunch of sticks, right? And they threw the sticks in the box, and then Aaron's stick started to grow.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So that's contained in the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and some manna's in there. Manna means whatchamacallit.
Okay. I just thought it meant bread. Oh, well,
Nah, it literally means whatchamacallit.
Oh, okay. Because the reason I'm saying that is because, going back to the when Israel got out of Egypt, you know, and they got manna from heaven. You know, that's what I've always looked at it as a really sweet kind of bread or something, you know, even though the Israelis,
well, they called it angel's
bread.
They
got upset at it at some point.
the angel's bread, but that's like in the New Testament time that they said meat, but meat was any kind of food.
Mm, okay.
It was the same thing back then. They said bread, it was just any kind of food. If I don't know, maybe like a fluffy wafer of some kind.
Mm, okay.
Not like the ones you get in the Catholic Church, the little discs and you stick out your tongue.
Yeah, I always wondered what those little wafers were. I mean, I don't know.
I think they're styrofoam. Mm. But manna literally means what's this?
Okay.
In the Hebrew.
Do you have any idea what that is?
No, because it didn't tell us. It's angel. It's literally angel's food. It's like stuff that grows on air. Maybe a type of I wouldn't say a fungus because fungus doesn't have that good sound to it.
Right.
But something along that lines that would just grow.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Why was it only there for that 40 years? You know, where's the rest of it? Are we going to see any again?
Mm.
I don't know.
Well,
is,
you know,
is
they
it good with butter.
I always thought it was really cool that they said that the Lord always gave them enough for everybody to have their portion for one day.
Yep.
You know, and then what is it on the Sabbath? Because they couldn't do anything, they got 2 days worth at on one day, right?
Yep.
Isn't that how it worked out? Okay.
Yes, and if you saved any overnight, it went bad.
Yeah.
But it didn't go bad on the Sabbath. How does that work?
God can do what he wants to do because this and us and everything is his creation.
Yeah, he made it, so they could figure it out.
Yeah, he gets to play by the rules on that. Okay,
there's got to be some kind of explanation, but
maybe
we can understand.
But you know, science isn't going to spend a millisecond trying on that one. You know, I guarantee you that. David, now we are going to go deep into the discussion here about the ark because there's a lot of information and a lot of it is brand new. And I think people are going to be surprised at what we are going to talk about in the second half of the show. But that's got to wait for the second half of the show. So you want to go ahead and take us out of this one with whatever you want to say.
Okay, so manna, arcs, Turin, doesn't matter. The point is, Jesus died for you. He paid off all of your sins, your whole sin debt. You had a legal agreement with the devil. You know, shame on you, I guess. But we all did, so don't feel bad. The main crux of it is that Jesus paid that off so you can be with him for eternity. That's how much he loved you. And he suffered death to do that, to get you. So we're going to talk more about that in the second half. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys then. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, I want to just jump right back into this because we got a lot to cover today. Again, the Ark of the Covenant hidden no more. Now, on the top of this thing were two golden cherubim facing each other with wings spread, forming the mercy seat where God himself would appear in glory. That's Exodus 25:22. This was not symbolic. It was the literal dwelling of God's presence among the Israelis. So sacred was the Ark that only the high priest could approach it, and then only once per year on Yom Kippur, with the blood of atonement. Wherever the ark went, victory or judgment followed. What do you want to talk about there, David?
Well, it was really the mercy seat.
Okay.
So the, you know, there's two different parts to it. And I think people, you know, conflate the two, which also lends to some other theories that the ark part may still be there, may not, but the mercy seat, you know, all made in gold and everything, mm-hmm. acacia wood, by the way, that might have been preserved, or it could be preserved together. So, yeah, you weren't allowed to touch it because that was the Holy of Holies. And the idea was, you're in a sinful state right now. So if you got anywhere near that, it would literally just burn you up.
Yeah, they had to carry that thing. They had poles that went through both sides of that and then carried it. They couldn't physically touch the thing. They had to just carry it with these poles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They ran the poles through and then move it on.
And then if anybody opened it, that was a real bad deal there.
Even if they touched it, yeah.
Yeah, death. Yeah, that's the reason when they stole it from Israel, they gave it back to them.
Yeah. Hey, listen, can you come and get this thing? It's like they did with my second child. Yeah. Hey, listen, your kid came over. Could you come and get it back?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, well, my understanding of the Ark is that the Israelis carried the Ark of the Covenant like in front of the army. So the foreign forces or whatever, as long as the Ark was present, the Israelis won every single time, right?
Yeah, and then the singers went out, the Ark went out. It's basically the presence of the Lord, which would be in everything. So that'd be really powerful. So that's why people want it. You know, there's nefarious purposes, like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
They wanted it because they thought it was going to give them all the power and, like, the spear of destiny. That's what Hitler was looking for that. It's like, what are you going to do with it?
I think Hitler was really he was into the occult, I'll put it that way. Yeah.
And not for nothing, what they have is real. It's just they're on the evil side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Ark is real, question is, what are you trying to do with that power?
Yeah.
Which is why God has to hide all this stuff, because that's what people want to do. And even if you find it and it's for good purposes, there's an evil guy who's got bigger guns and he wants to take it from you so yeah. he can have all this stuff. So God's like, we're going to keep it as. So that, again, goes to the, you know, Noah's Ark and the mm-hmm. Ark of the Covenant and,
yeah.
and the Shroud of Turin and the Holy Grail, right? Monty Python mm-hmm. and the Holy Grail.
Yeah. yeah.
So all this stuff. And he's like, no, I don't want you to focus on that. Just like Moses and the snake on a pole.
Right.
The brass pole. Eventually, he's like, no, I have to get rid of that because you guys are worshiping that thing.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. But again, it was built Moses' instruction overlaid with gold and has it got the Ten Commandments in there. That'd be cool to see those.
Yeah.
Some of the extra biblical writings say it was actually an emerald stone. So that's interesting. You know, it's not just a rock like we see, you know, in the movies. Mm-hmm. It was actually an emerald stone, and it was etched with God's finger. So that, that's got to be cool looking if it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm thinking once we actually have our glorified bodies and stuff, we'll probably be able to look in the Ark of the Covenant and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, and then some even surmise, oh, well, yeah, that's because it'll be looking in the past and say, hey, look what he did. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll have our glorified bodies, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are some that surmise because of the language that it's actually 3D. You know when you go to the mall and they take a picture and they make that 3D cube of your picture?
Yeah. Uh-huh, right.
So it's kind of like that, where it's written in 3D. So as you turn it, it has all the commandments written in it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be cool to see.
That would be cool. I don't know. How much water that holds, but that'd be cool if it was inside an emerald. You got this giant, pure emerald stone, and it's a holograph inside of the Ten Commandments.
I got a feeling it's going to be really cool, you know?
Yeah, it might even be way better than that.
Yeah, probably so. All right, look at this here. There are whispered discoveries in coded language out of Jerusalem are fueling renewed belief that the Ark of the Covenant may be known or soon revealed. You got rabbinical groups and temple researchers are speaking more boldly about the sacred furnishings being ready for use. Mentions of unseen artifacts being prepared during Temple Mount readiness conversations are intensifying. Rumors connect these developments with third temple preparations, which must be complete before the midpoint of the tribulation. Tie this to Revelation 11:19, where John sees the ark in heaven. Could this be a possible mirror of an earthly discovery? The revealing of the ark could spark war, worship, or both. And I'm just going to go ahead and roll on through here real quick. Where is it? There's theories and possibilities that many theorists exist under the Temple Mount. Some rabbis claim it was hidden in a chamber before the Babylonian invasion in Ethiopia, where it's guarded by priests claiming a Solomonic lineage in the Vatican vaults, taken secretly during ancient wars, or near Qumran. I don't know how to say that. Qumran. Hidden alongside the Dead Sea Scrolls. Then you've got new ground radar and scanning technology. This has not been disclosed publicly. It's reported yielded anomalous results beneath the old city site. Some claim secret excavations are already taking place beneath the heavily militarized area there. Do you have any comment on that one, David?
On the new ones? No, the grand, ground scanning stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I know about... we got Ron Wyatt, who says it's under, you know.
I'm going to get to him in a minute. In a minute.
So
okay.
We got that. We got the it's under Solomon's temple.
Mm-hmm.
So the priests hid it in a chamber under the Temple Mount before the Babylonian invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that Babylon actually got it and then melted it down. Remember Belshazzar and along those lines?
Mm-hmm.
Some, and then obviously one of the big ones is it was taken to Ethiopia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know the Cave of Jeremiah?
You
got that one on there?
I know I've got something on Jeremiah. I'm not sure if that was it, though. Go ahead and tell us
Mount
about
Nebo.
It.
Okay. But that's out of Maccabees. So it's like so Jeremiah hid it in a cave. So mm-hmm. they got the Cave of Jeremiah. We've already talked about Qumran and the Dead Sea Scrolls. So that there's a handful of things. I am not familiar with the ground scanning radar, ground penetrating scanning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, it's new.
LIDAR.
From what I was able to see, it is new information. And, you know, any information like that, full disclosure, any information like that, we can't verify it. I mean, yeah, it's coming from a couple of different sources, but, you know, how closely are those sources aligned with each other? And, you know, how much is there any money involved for presenting the information? We don't know. You know, just don't know. So I'm careful with that kind of stuff.
Well, we do have other writings like Baruch. We already talked about Maccabees, but like in Second Baruch, Baruch is told by God not to worry about the temple's destruction because he'll preserve all the sacred vessels until the end times.
Yeah.
And Baruch has actually been pretty on point with a lot of things.
Okay.
So maybe it's not canon, but it could possibly definitely be good prophecy. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a lot of things.
Yeah.
So until the end times, that's my key. Okay, so he's going to bring it back out again. So what is that end time? Is that after Jesus returns and he's like, hey, I need my seat? Or is it sometime before that? So yeah. Second Esdras describes the temple that's coming up. And all the lost sacred items will be restored. So you got that. Then you got the Mishnah, you know, all the stuff the rabbis think. So we think this, but good for you.
Yeah.
So they got a secret temple, and it's where King Josiah was, and he hid the ark over there. The Talmud, it was stored in the holy, like there was no longer a holy of holies, so they just made like a stone slab. The Midrash, it was taken into exile, so it was taken away. So you got a bunch of different theories.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what they are. They're theories. They're speculation. There's, I guess, wild guesses. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know. All right. Let's look at this one here. We've got some new information here. Temple advocates claim it's already located. Prominent temple institute figures in Jerusalem no longer speak of searching for the ark. Their language now suggests it's in our hands. It has been kept safe. And it will be revealed at the appointed time. Now, this change hints that some in religious leadership know the location and are waiting for a prophetic moment. And so you've got underground structures have detected beneath the Temple Mount. Now, again, this is using the ground penetrating radar, GPR, and seismic imaging have reportedly revealed underground chambers or cavities beneath the Temple Mount. These anomalies line up with the ancient description of hidden passageways possibly used to store sacred items like the Ark. And I watched a program not too long ago with Eric Stackelbeck, and he was actually there underneath the Temple Mount, or however they get there. And there's a wall, and the Jewish individual that was with him said that we can't knock this wall down. They won't let us do it, but we think the Ark of the Covenant's right there. So anyway, you know, now that's just one guy. I don't know how closely he is with, you know, all the big head honchos and that would know, but anyway, he seemed pretty confident about it, so I'll just leave it at that. What do you think?
I mean, I'm game for examining all of them. And you know what? I don't dismiss anything until I find a reason to dismiss it. But I don't automatically accept it either.
Right.
Says, hey, that's an interesting theory, and I think we all need to be in that place where we're like, hey, let's just take a look at it, as opposed to arguing about, oh, it can't be there, blah blah. Well, look at it. If you find something is viable, then we can all say, hey, no, I mean, it's clear that it says this, so it couldn't possibly be there. Let's do it together. You know, in a logical process of elimination.
Well, I'm gonna go back to something I meant to talk about last week with the Eastgate. They were talking about how attempts have been made to knock this thing down before.
Yep.
At one time, the Jews wanted to do it. You know, just open it back up. But the one that really caught my attention was the time that the Muslims wanted to wanted to do it. And on the very day that they were going to do that, I believe it was the 67 war happened, and they weren't able to do it. And nobody's messed with it since. Anyway, I just wanted to get that in there real quick because I failed to last time. Okay, looking at this one here. You got modern clues and sudden boldness. In recent years, there's been a dramatic shift in tone as temple organizers in Jerusalem now openly reinforce the Ark or reference the Ark during Temple Mount briefings. Some leaders claim it's safe, known, and awaiting the right time. Jewish priests in training are being prepared to use it as part of a temple worship restoration. In 2024, you got subtle language changes in Hebrew rabbinical circles, began referring to sacred furnishings already prepared. Statements many believe includes the Ark. And there's the growing confidence among some involved in temple preparation. As one rabbi stated, we have everything needed to resume service today, including what has been kept hidden since the time of the prophets. Now, that's a pretty significant clue, wouldn't you think?
And, you know, it's not just one of them. What is that? That's like the fourth or fifth different person from different aspects. Guys that are digging on the ground, and now here's a rabbi, and then the guys, all these different people are saying, yeah, we kind of got everything ready. And
and I wouldn't doubt
them. Waiting it for punch in time. You remember when Bugs Bunny and then the dog was there and they'd punch in with the coyote, morning George, morning Ralph.
I remember
just
that.
Waiting for punch in time.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Okay, looking at this one. Now, this is what you kind of referred to earlier, David. You got past claims that the Ark's been found. You got Ron Wyatt in 1982. His claim is that he found the Ark of the Covenant in a cave beneath the site of the crucifixion near the Garden Tomb. Then you got that Ethiopian Orthodox Church in Aksum, Ethiopia. The Ark resides in St. Mary of Zion Cathedral in Aksum and has been guarded by a single appointed monk. Then you got the Levitical Priest and Temple Institute that's in Jerusalem. They claim some modern Jewish sources believe the Ark is hidden beneath the Temple Mount, awaiting the rebuilding of the Third Temple. Then you got the Mount Nebo in Jordan, based on 2 Maccabees. That's, what is it, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Some claim that the prophet Jeremiah hid the Ark in a cave on Mount Nebo. And you got the Vatican vault theory. Some conspiracy theorists assert that the Ark is held in the secret archives of the Vatican. And I don't know if that would be too out of bounds. I mean, you know, they collect a lot of relics. So I don't know.
And they probably have, and they got an awful lot of money. So maybe they paid someone to bring it over there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I'm not going to say it's out of the scope of possibility.
Yeah, it's up here.
Yeah, from my personal view, I'm thinking it's still there somewhere in the general area of Jerusalem. You know, I'm just that's just.
I don't know which one's better, but I would lean towards hidden under the Temple Mount.
Me too.
And or Ethiopia, because you know the replica that Solomon's son made with Bathsheba. So that most people don't know that story. So they had a kid, and he apparently obviously was Ethiopian, like Queen of Sheba was. Excuse me. Not Bathsheba, I made a mistake. The Queen of Sheba and him had a son, and he noticed that he was getting all out of whack with all these pagan gods. So the story goes, he took the original Ark and made a replica. It could possibly be the real ones in Ethiopia, but the replicas under the Temple Mount, or the real ones under the Temple Mount. I kind of lean in that kind of a scenario.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. What bothers me about the Ethiopian idea is, you know, they really don't know around Jerusalem, around Temple Mount, around the crucifixion site, whatever. There's a lot of territory there. And so I understand how come they're not focusing on that really hard. But when it comes to Ethiopia, they've got it nailed to one place, one church, one location, and over centuries and millennia, nobody ever attacked that church and said, we're going to find out for sure. You know, it's hard for me to believe that somebody wouldn't have, especially Adolf Hitler. You know, if he really believed it was there and it was going to give him the power of winning World War II, I can't imagine him not sending troops there and take it, you know,
was
find
it,
out.
I wonder if it was they fought them off.
Yeah. Well, it said that there's one guy patrolling this thing. You know, that's the only reason. Okay.
Well, yeah, but he would be the sentry to let everyone
else
know.
Yeah, bring in a bunch of, I don't know, cannibals or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now then, from an evangelical Christian perspective or a conservative biblical standpoint, the ark is real and it served its purpose in the old covenant. It may no longer be necessary in the new covenant as Jesus is now the high priest and the mediator. That's in Hebrews 8 through 10. Could be revealed at any time during the tribulation or millennial kingdom as part of God's prophetic plan. That's Revelation 11:19, which speaks of the ark appearing in the heavenly temple. So several individuals and religious groups claim to know the ark's location. There's no verified discovery to date. For Christians, the significance of the ark has been spiritually fulfilled in Christ, though the actual ark may appear in God's timing to confirm prophecy. So do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that we're talking about it, mm-hmm. is bringing it all up. And like I said, one or the other. It's we're getting to the end, so people are talking about these things, mm-hmm. Or he's now God is revealing these things because we are at the end, but either mm-hmm. way, it reveals we're at the end.
Either way, it reveals we're at the end. You got it. Okay, now we're going to have to kind of go through these, the last few here pretty quick, but this is a new topic, which is the prophetic acceleration or the signs in heavens and earth. We're going to look at the broader picture here, how numerous signs are converging across spiritual, celestial, and geopolitical realms. The pace isn't just steady, it's accelerating. So you got nature, massive sunspot clusters recently caused rare auroras over the Middle East. Earthquakes now routinely rock Israel's northern border, echoing the birth pangs described in Matthew 24. Global heat waves and unprecedented weather extremes have led to food instability, rising famine, and forced migration, mirroring Revelation 6. Creation is crying out, not for repair, but for redemption. And let me see. I'll just move on here real quick, and we'll do, if I can make my fingers work, we'll get to the next one here. And it is, the temple's ready. The red heifers. Well, we hadn't talked about them in a while. There are multiple red heifers are now at the correct age and health for temple sacrifice. This would be the first time in 2,000 years the purification process from Numbers 19 could be restored. The third temple groups are prepared. The altars are ready. The priests are trained. All they wait for is the right moment. You got persecution, apostasy, and awakening. Christian persecution now spans over 150 countries. Apostasy infects pulpits with compromise and cowardice, yet underground revivals among youth, prisoners, and persecuted churches are igniting fires of repentance. You look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And moving on to the next one here. One sign is coincidence, okay? But, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. Two are notable. But all converging across Israel, the church, nature, and global systems cannot be ignored. We're not watching the beginning of the end. We're living in the end of the end, which is David just kind of said that a few times now. And let he who has ears to hear listen. Let he who has eyes to see watch the gate, examine the shroud, heed the ark, and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. In other words, we're getting really, really close. David, what do you
think? Close. Yeah, yeah, we're at the precipice here.
Yeah, like we're there.
yeah, well, oh, there's a couple of things I wanted to comment on. I forgot what they were.
Well, if you want me to put it back up on screen, I can.
Yeah. Go back two slides.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna go back here to this one right here. This is.
Nature groans. Okay. Mm-hmm. It does say that. You know, nature groans and travails, right? Because nature actually, since we had dominion over everything on the earth, mm-hmm. our sin has caused what we call, you know, entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is falling apart.
Right.
That's because of our sin. And it's there's so many things tied to it, but we're just not in tune with Jesus anymore. So yeah. Our vibrations are getting smaller and smaller, and we're losing that energy. When he comes back, he's going to revamp everything with his energy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to, you know, again, destroy those who destroy the earth. He's going to put it all back into place. People will live right through the millennium.
Yep.
That whole 1,000 years will go right mm-hmm. back through it. So it's going to be an amazing time. And I kind of hope the birth pains go faster and faster and faster so we can hurry up and have this baby.
I wanted to point out on this particular slide that they mm-hmm. said that there's multiple pure red heifers.
They practiced on one of them, right?
Yes, that was what I was going to bring up, is they just did one. I don't believe it was in Israel either. It was in another location, but the
It was in Israel, but away from the where they're actually going to do
it. Oh, okay. I thought it was outside Israel, but he's definitely wrong on that. Okay.
Apparently this one had, they found at least 3 black hairs, so they're like, well,
yeah.
Let's practice.
Let's practice, yeah. And I think there's 2 left, right, that
yes.
are still qualify, and they only need 1. Now, also, there were some people that I was watching a conversation on one of the things, and they said, "This, it's not right. It doesn't matter. They can have 20 of them. It doesn't matter because they're not from Israel. And if they're not from Israel, it doesn't count." Now, I didn't do it. I came about that close.
Mm-hmm.
Show me in the Bible where it says that.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
It's insane.
Yeah, I don't think it says it in the Bible, does it?
No. I think it says 1 red heifer.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter if it came from Texas or not, and that's where they're from. I'm not just saying that just to be saying it, but they're actually... Yeah.
And right now they're in Israel anyway, so...
Yeah, they're in Israel. Yeah, that's for sure. So whenever you look at all this, David, you got the church, you got nature, you got the global systems, all that stuff, and it's all coming together at once, along with the wars and rumors of wars, along with the famines, along with the earthquakes, along with the pestilences. I mean, every aspect of the end time is happening right now in 2025. All of it. Name me another time in history that they all came together.
Never.
Never. You know, so that tells me by itself, that tells me that we are definitely in the last days. And so, you know, we want to make an appeal to everybody out there, wherever you may be located in the world, to, if you're not sure, just say, "God, prove yourself. Prove yourself to me," and mean it, and he will. You know what I mean? I'm just being really bold about that one. But, David, you want to tell everybody how they can receive Christ as their personal Savior?
Yeah, right after this. Numbers 19:2 just says, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke."
That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it tells you what to do with it. Doesn't say it has to be from Israel.
Yeah, just says, bring me. Bring me. Well,
bring
I can
me
be
a
from
red
anywhere.
Heifer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's more to that, a lot with the red. People complain about, like, those Zionists and blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah.
And
in
mm-hmm.
fact, they were Edomites, and it has anything to do with red. Edom is red. So they're those that call themselves Jews that are not. So
mm-hmm.
There's a lot to that. But Rothschild means red in the Latin.
yeah.
Red, the red children.
right.
Uh-huh. So and there's a few other family names too. So there's a lot to the red part. The
right.
Edomites, and the Edomites actually claim to be Jews. Herod was an Edomite.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole another can of worms we can open up. In the
yep.
meantime, it doesn't matter for your salvation.
Right.
what does matter yeah. is that you recognize that you are a sinner
mm-hmm.
and that you believe that Jesus came and died for you, and then mm-hmm. you accept that contract by speaking it out loud. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. You have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net. And check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.